this morning. You want to lift your cup
Amen.
Up to Him. Just lift yourself up to Him and say, Lord, here's my soul. That's what I think of. Lift my soul up before Him and say, Lord, just fill it. Amen. And I know if He does, He wants to, and He does, He'll fill it with good things.
That's right.
Amen. So we're thankful for that. It's a wonderful song service this morning. It goes right along with the sermon. So, but I want to point out, Brother Daniel mentioned it at the beginning of the service, but then Brother Tim come along right about behind it because Brother Daniel's got a running, sniffly nose. Brother Tim's been dealing with it. But they got up and said, you know what? We're gonna show the devil who's boss this morning.
Amen.
Not in themselves, but in the promise.
Right. Yes.
Right? And so when you follow God's program and God comes and gets in that, and you see the devil start jumping for cover.
Right. That's right.
Amen. So we thank the Lord for that. We'll let the musicians go ahead and go to their seat. God is so good to us. Just happy to be with you this morning. Brothers, we got to spend a little time fellowshipping. Not near enough time, but it was good.
Amen.
And so we thank the Lord for providing that for us. We try to do that once a year, and it was really a blessing. You know, I've said this many times. I used to hunt and camp, and I'd sit at night, and I'd listen to sermons. You know, I had a pillow speaker, and I'd sit there listening to sermons, and I desired brothers that believe the message that I could camp with, that I could sit around campfire with, and we could talk about the good things of God. And went many years like that, but now the Lord has absolutely just overwhelmed me with what I desired. And He knows how to pour out a blessing on you that you can't hardly contain it sometimes. So I just wanted to go on record as saying I thank the Lord for providing fellowship, godly fellowship that we can camp with and spend time out in nature with. It's really good. So we'll go ahead and open our Bibles to Luke chapter 24. I'm going to talk about God's great symphony this morning. Symphony. We're all familiar with this place in Luke chapter 24 where the two going to Emmaus are walking. The Lord joined Himself with them, and they didn't know who He was. And they walked for, I think, 6 furlongs or something like that. I forget what it was. It's just a little bit above this portion of Scripture. But where we pick up in the Scripture here, this is when those two, at evening time, they constrained the Lord to come in with them, not knowing it was Him, to have supper with them. And remember, the last church age is the one that's at the evening time, right? And He said, come in and sup with Me. So these guys had walked with Jesus all day long, and they really didn't know who He was. So the church was walking throughout the ages and didn't really have the full revelation of Jesus Christ. See the type there?
Right.
But at evening time, they constrained Him to come in. Remember, Laodicea is knocking on the door and says, if you'll let me come in, I'll sup with you.
Yeah.
So these guys were willing to have Him come in. And, of course, when He came into them and began to break bread with them and have supper with them, He broke bread and opened their eyes, and then they realized it was Him. So this is where we come to. And it says that it came to pass as He sat at meat with them that He took bread and He blessed it and He broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sights. Out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures? And they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how He was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus Himself stood in the midst with them, and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, why are you troubled, and why doth thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that is, I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as you see me have. So He was really there, right? So he was, and I'm just pausing just for a moment. We saw where he break bread and then he vanished. He was really there breaking bread. He vanished. Now they're in the room. They're closed up and he appears and they're scared because how did this guy get in here, right? But he's really there and he says, come and handle me. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat it before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Always going back to the scriptures to show that it was said it would be this way. So let's bow our hearts to him. Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity. We already thank you, Lord, for the service that we've had, the worship and preparing our hearts to come before your presence, and that your word, the most important part of the service now, we come, that your word would be spoken, and Lord, that our hearts would be able to hear what you have for us today. We thank you, Lord, and just ask God that you continue to be in this service and just get from this service everything that you desire, Lord, that we would minister back to you what you deserve. Lord, you would touch every heart, every life that's in this room today, Lord. And if any should hear it later on in recording, we pray the same for them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Amen. God's great symphony. Amen. So, you know, music is a very powerful thing. And I think, you know, it's been some time back. I think Brother Ben Norrod had spoken a little bit about music. But music is a very powerful thing. We witnessed it in service this morning. Amen? So, you know, you can be feeling really bad. You can be feeling down in the mully grubs. I remember Brother Bam talking about this. You can be feeling down in the dumps or whatever, and you can start singing a song. You can start singing a gospel song and start patting your foot and so forth. And next thing you know, you feel better.
That's right.
So what happened? You use the power of music, the power of singing and of music, and we'll get a little further than this, and it'll all make more sense maybe. So you can use music to change the situation. We know in the scriptures, we find out that King Saul had an evil spirit upon him, right? An evil spirit was upon him, and they knew that if you could get somebody to come and play the right kind of music, that it would drive that thing from them. And so these are all this stuff that the Lord has come to us in this end time and helps us see the clarity of how all this works. These are all tools to be given to you, right, that you could use in your to benefit your walk.
Right.
And so we find out that David, they sought out David because he played the harp and he sung, and they got David and they brought him in, and David would begin to play with his harp and he would play songs, and that evil spirit would drive that away.
That's right.
Now, I'm pretty sure that the music that David played didn't sound like Led Zeppelin or AC/DC.
Right.
Now, some of you may not know who I'm talking about, but just consider the worst kind of rock and roll stuff, you know, not acid rock and stuff like that, you know, the stuff you hear people going down the road. I don't think it was like that, no. See? But my point is that there's an understanding that you can turn to music and you can use that music to change your mood, change your circumstances, change your attitude, and actually drive evil spirits away, right? So we know that's scriptural, so that's concrete, right? Just chiseled right in the stone of revelation that you can drive away evil spirits with the right kind of songs, the right kind of worship,
yep,
like you could have. This is one reason why that we always have song before service, because you come in from every different walk of life, of
whatever you've been battling all week, and some of you may not feel good in your body. Some of you may be fighting something. You're all fighting spiritual battles, and you come from all these different directions, and we gotta bring you in and get you all into a channel where it makes it easy for the Lord to come and bless your heart with His words. Uh-huh. And so that's why in service we come in, we begin to sing songs, because in singing the right kind of songs, it begins to drive away all the doubts and drive away the spirits, and it gets you in the right frame of mind where it actually makes it easy for the Lord to speak to you.
Yeah.
Now what you'll find out is, music can also, by doing this, we call up the Holy Spirit. See, we're ushering in the Holy Spirit, but we can also, with the wrong kind of music, we can usher in evil spirits. Mm-hmm. And so we understand that. If the right kind of music can drive an evil spirit away, the wrong kind will bring it. And it's true. The wrong kind will bring it. So what it does is, in song, and it's you're entering into this ushering in of the Spirit. And remember, Spirit is anointing. And anointing is a type of oil. And oil is a product that when you take something that won't move very well, like Brother Brian's gate on his lift there yesterday at camp, you know, or day before yesterday, whenever it was, he was having a hard time latching his trailer. So they went and got a spray of lubricant to put on there, make it easy to move. So oil makes it smooth, makes it easy. And so this is the concept, that when the anointing comes, now it oils the situation. And whereas that you might not be able to easily hear the word of the Lord, now the Holy Spirit has come and anointed you and makes it smooth for the Lord to come and speak to you, right? But the same concept is that whenever you have the wrong type of music, it ushers in the wrong type of spirit, which also is an anointing, and makes it very easy for you to slide right into what that anointing wants you to be and wants you to receive. So getting into the Spirit, like we're talking about, is praying in the Spirit and getting into the Spirit. We're talking about the Spirit of God. It makes it real easy for God to speak to you and through you and to act through you and use you for His kingdom. But if you don't get in His Spirit, then it's not that easy. It's not as easy, see? And obviously, if you're in a different anointing of another spirit, then it's now you're sliding easily in the direction of whatever that other spirit is. And so music is a powerful tool that is used like this. They had music, there was music in heaven, right? And so they went out, when they'd go out to battle, they'd send out music before it. So all this is playing a part, and I'm not trying to just cover it all this morning, but just to speak on this concept that music is so powerful, and I'm going in this direction to God's great symphony, which is a great musical event.
Yeah.
Right? A symphony is a great musical event. And so we want to have the correct spirit, correct anointing, and so then there's the right way, there's a way to get that, a way for that to happen. So you can get the wrong, you can get the right anointing, and God will commit righteous acts through your life because you're walking in the right anointing. Okay? But under the wrong spirit, Satan can anoint you and cause you to perform unrighteous acts, immoral acts, penitentiary offensive acts because you're walking under the wrong spirit. And so what I want to show you is that you know, we use music to usher in the Holy Spirit. That's not the only way to do it, but we use that. But music is, I'm not a music scholar, okay? Brother Tim probably could tell a whole lot more about it, and some of you, all the different terminologies. But we're talking about music has to do with notes and timing and frequencies. You understand what I'm saying? And how those are arranged. And so music is associated with spirits. Music and spirits are all associated with actions and with moods and with all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And so you've heard us say, you know, a spirit can attach itself to a song because that song has a spirit. It attaches itself to that or whatever. And so every time you hear that song, that spirit tries to anoint you with the anointing of what it is.
Right.
So there's a spirit that goes with a song. And so we make light of this, okay, what I'm about to say. We make light of this, but I'm not sure that we should.
Right.
Because I can say just a few words and say it in a certain way, it'll make a song stick in your head.
Yeah.
And you'll fight that song probably the rest of the day. Now, what's happening there is that those words have provoked or have summoned that spirit behind that song. And now you're fighting a spiritual battle with that spirit who's trying to get you to submit to that song and begin to get in the beat and into the movement of that spirit, of that song. And so when you get in, you receive that song, receive that anointing, you now begin to receive that beat, that frequency, those tones that go with that, and you start acting out. And if left unattended, then you'll eventually be manifesting exactly what that spirit wants you to manifest. That's the way it works. And so that's why we have to be very careful what we listen to and what we allow. Some songs can, immediately a song can be played, it can cause you to get sad.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that? There's some songs that you listen to them and they make you feel sad.
Right.
There are some gospel songs that make you want to repent. You may not even feel like you got anything to repent of.
Yeah.
They start playing that song and you start wanting to weep before the Lord and repent.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Because there's an anointing for that song. I remember back in the 70s when I was just a young guy growing up, and all the time you'd see Billy Graham and Jerry Falwell would be on TV all the time. And they almost always used that song, Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Or that one, Nothing in My Heart I Bring. What's the name of that one? Only to Thy Cross I Cling. They use that song. And those songs have just a certain rhythm and a certain thing to them that they provoke that kind. And that's why they played it. They understood that. And so they'd have thousands of people coming down and repenting and so forth. And so I'm just using that as an example because that's the way it works. So some songs make you sad and some songs, some music just make you feel real relaxed and relieves tension. Some songs can cause tension. Cause hatred, cause bitterness, and those things to rise up in you. So we have to be careful what we listen to.
Right.
Because what we listen to eventually causes us to begin to, and I'm hoping to make this understandable through this whole thing. It begins to cause you to vibrate to the same tone, same symphony, if you will, of what it is. And so maybe it'll be a little more understandable here in just a moment. So we have a responsibility of what we listen to. Just like it is with everything in our life, we have a responsibility of what we say and what we think and where we go and what we wear. Each one of us have a responsibility. You are to be the king over your domain. And the first domain said, well, I don't have any domain. Yes, you do. You got this right here to start with.
Right.
And you are to be a king over that domain. You are to rule, and you are to say that in this domain, unrighteousness will not be committed.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Because if you just leave it alone, that's exactly what's going to happen. Just leave your kids alone, little kids alone, they're going to start fighting.
Yeah.
If you don't have a rulership, you don't have a king over that situation in that playground, next thing you know, somebody's going to be bloody, somebody's going to be hurt, somebody's going to be... Why? Because that's the way it is. There's got to be a ruler over the domain. And so you have to have rule over this. And if you don't rule this, this guy will do what is in him to do. Because he didn't get born again. Right? So he'll do exactly what the devil wants him to do. Unless you've got something that's on the throne of your heart ruling over that flesh to keep it from doing that. So you are to rule over this and say, you're not going to think these thoughts. You're not going to go to these places. You're not going to look at these things. You know, you're not going to wear these certain things. Men and women. You have a responsibility in all these areas, right? You do. And so with all that, you have a responsibility in those things because there are spirits in those things, and you become an expression of the wrong thing. And so you have a responsibility to keep yourself from those things. And at the same time, you have a responsibility to submit yourself to the right things so that the right things can be lived out through you. And so you find out that music is in the realm of hearing. And you remember, you have touch, taste, see, smell, and hear on the outward. And then you've got this inward channels or whatever of imagination, conscious, memory, reason, and affection. So like back to a while ago, what I was saying, you know, a spirit can be attached to a smell of a perfume or an event or a song or a place that you go. And what happens there? You hear this song and immediately say, I'll just have to tell you, so my experiences or whatever is back not serving the Lord and running around listening to the wrong kind of music and doing the wrong kinds of things. And there's spirits in all that. And you become very familiar with those things. And so that's why you hear me say there's no such thing as Christian rock, because having listened to those things years ago, now even in a church service, whenever somebody begins to play a song and they call it gospel, but it's actually rock and roll, the spirit behind it comes from the same thing that was out there in the world, and I know it because I'm familiar with it.
Right.
So I catch it. I don't care what the words say. But see, so you're out there and you experience these things, and now you come over, you give your heart to the Lord, and you're going through the supermarket, and they play that song that was played out there when you were experiencing. Out here in the world, you had tremendous spiritual experiences. And I'm talking about not Holy Spirit, I'm talking about devils.
Right.
So it's just tremendous moves of spiritual events to lock you into that kind of lifestyle. Then you give your heart to the Lord, as I did, and I come over here, and I hear in the supermarket that song, and instantly I feel that spirit that was over here that I once listened to and once had its way with me. I feel that now trying to get me to give into it. And it's got a wooing, seducing, drawing kind of effect that try to makes it, oh, you know, this would be good to do this. This is the way the devil works. And so being as a Christian, having the Lord in your heart, you know exactly what that is. And you can look at it and say, that's that devil, and I'm not going to have nothing to do with it. But my point is that devil is attached to that song.
Yeah.
Now, how does this work? You got outward senses, touch, taste, see, smell, and hear. So you hear that song. That song is played. It comes through one of your outward senses, hearing. It goes through that hearing, and it comes in, and it strikes your imagination, your conscience, your memory, reason, or affection.
Right.
So it strikes your memory. You remember that song, right? And so that comes in and it strikes that memory right there. And right there attached to that memory is that devil. Now, I'm not talking about you being demon possessed. I'm just saying it's there and it's associated in your spirit realm, in the spirit realm, right off over here in this side of the room of your spirit is that memory of that song. And standing right beside that memory is that devil to try and anoint it. And so when you hear it comes through your ears, it goes right straight to that memory. You remember that, and instantly you begin to feel that wooing, seducing, lying devil trying to get you to submit to that. What's he trying to do? He's trying to anoint you, trying to oil you up,
yeah,
grease you up so you can easily begin to get into the bebop and the move and start acting out what that song was.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? That's the way it works. Now, all that works with the Holy Spirit, too. A good old gospel song. And the Holy Spirit comes upon you and anoints you, and it gets in there, and it can excite the things that are right. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Do you follow me, or am I way off in left field on this?
Amen.
So this is the way it works. And this is why you have to say no to these things. That's why when somebody says something, like I said, we take it lightly sometimes, but when somebody says a song and it gets, and maybe it's not purposely they do it, But to get something like that, you got to fight that, because that's, you are right in the midst of the heat of a battle of Satan trying to get you to go ahead and sing that song and begin to stomp your foot to it and begin to, you know, sing what you shouldn't. Because I'll go ahead and say this. This is all tied together. When I'm talking about music and it's got a spirit, and it can be the Holy Spirit, or if it's the right music, if it's wrong, but it's music, it's a spirit, it's a beat, it's a frequency, it's notes, it's a symphony, right? And you become that because you are that symphony. God has a great symphony that's going on. And so these things are like that, and you become what that frequency is, or what that song is, or what that spirit is, because spirits have frequencies to them. Everything has. Do you realize that everything has its own natural frequency? Right. You can take any kind of thing. I made for Rachel years ago, the little, what do they call that little xylophone? I took electrical conduit, cut them to certain sizes, ground them on a grinder to get them for the right frequencies, and you could play music with them, just like a... Because what was I doing? Capitalizing on the self-resonant frequency of each of those items. It has to do with their size. It has to do with their properties of how they're made, the metal, what kind of metal it is, and that kind of stuff. But my point is everything has a frequency. Your liver has a frequency, right? Your heart, everything in your body has. And so it's like that. Everything in this room has a frequency. I remember in Kyoto years ago when they kept having a ringing noise, and Brother Prater thought it was a sound system, and he kept looking back there wanting the sound guy to fix it. You know what it turned out to be? We turned the whole microphones, the whole system off completely, and he could still say something loud and it would ring, and it turned out to be something in the building that was resonating. Well, no sound man in the world's going to turn that off. It was funny, you know. So my point is, everything has a frequency, and frequencies are spirits. Right. This is what I'm trying to show you. So the right spirit has the right kind of frequency, the right kind of beat, the right kind of tones, the right kind of chord mixtures of frequencies. Okay? So now, that's what I want to get to, because it's all one big symphony that's being played out. Okay? So, we have to be careful what we allow, because we are to rule our own life, and we're watching over our own souls, and we're also watching over the souls of others. You have people underneath you. That's part of your domain. So now, what's the difference? You can take the same instruments, same guitar, same drums, same piano, same bass guitar, that can play a gospel song, usher in the Holy Spirit to anoint you with the holy oil of God, so that God can easily speak to your heart and you begin to go out and act out what God is. Those same instruments can be used to play a different song to usher in evil spirits and cause bad things to be acted out.
Right.
Right? So what's the difference? Same instruments. They all have timing. They all have frequencies. So you find out, you know, you have certain chords. There's different octaves, and there's different chords, and there's minors. A minor chord. Some people don't want you playing with minors. I don't have a problem with them. I like them. But there have been some churches that they just don't want you playing with a minor chord. I see somebody shaking their head. They know this. See. But it's because they realize, they associate, there are some chords and some things that can be played in a certain way that it provokes certain things. And if they may not realize what they're doing, but if they don't like it, they'll try to ban it and say, we don't want to do that. But my point is that these tones and these frequencies that play out this symphony, if you break it right down, the pure form of a tone is a sine wave. And those of you that are in school, you know the sine function, right? How many knows the sine functions? You young people? Okay. Yeah, I got at least one. It's a mathematical description of a sine wave. And so it's something that kind of does this. That's a sine wave, okay? A square wave is this. right? A triangle wave is like this. So a sine wave's got this natural ringing to it. And that's what happens when you when these things vibrate, they have a natural frequency of a sine wave. So sine waves of different frequencies that make different notes. And so you take different frequencies of say, one note and another note and another note and another note, and they make a chord. And they complement one another. Right, Brother Tim? These different notes, they complement. And you call that a chord, but it's different ones, and they work together. Now, you could take another note and try to stick it in there, and it don't belong, and you'll hear it. If you got a musical ear, you'll hear right quick. It's like, that don't fit.
Right.
Now, what's happening? Here's something with a natural frequency here, and this is another natural frequency, and this is a different natural frequency, but they work together in harmony, and they create something beautiful.
Yeah.
Right? But now you can take another different frequencies and add them together, and it creates something that's hideous. Okay? And so these sine waves, you know, they're in their pure form, purity. And, you know, everything God made in its original form was pure, right?
Right.
And so purity. And then Brother Bim says that what is a lie? It's the truth perverted, right? What is adultery? It's the right act perverted, right? What is the wrong music? It's the right music perverted.
That's right.
So one of the things that they use, I don't know, Brother Tim, do you have your fancy box that makes all the different noises? I ought to show this to you sometime, but you can take a normal guitar that sounds fine, and you can give distortion, put it through a box that provides distortion, and now it sounds like a rock concert. And what's happening is these pure sine waves get distorted. That's why they call it distortion. So now they're not pure anymore. They've been perverted. And it's that kind of music that you find featured, right?
Right.
In rock and roll and even in country music.
Right.
This is the kind of instruments, and so what are they doing? They're taking what would be right, what would be original, and they pervert it and distort it and make it into something that's not original. And the further you get from the original, the more you satisfy the devil. The more you provide for his agenda. So when you take music that could be for God, the right kind of notes, the right kind of beats, the right kind of flow, you can take that and what would serve God and turn around and serve the devil with it. And so when you do that, it's got wrong spirits to it. Because it's a different thing. It's a different music. And so when it's played, it ushers people into a different spirit, a different movement.
Yeah.
Right? So you're not going to stand up here and play music that sounds like Led Zeppelin and cause anybody to come and want to repent.
Right.
It don't work. What you will want them to do is get them to jump up and start running around and acting like they do. You understand? But what I wanted to say a while ago, and I didn't get there yet, was when all these things, these notes and these their frequencies and their beats and all this stuff, and there's a spirit that goes with it, brings it right down to you acting out according to what it is. These, they're anointings. There's anointing that's all tied together that goes with this. And so it could be in its pure form. It could be in a mixed up form, a perverted form. And we don't want to be perverted, right? We do not want to be perverted. And we don't want to act out something that's ungodly. But what I wanted to say is that all of this is a worship. This is a worship. So when you walk under a certain anointing, you are walking to a certain rhythm,
right?
A certain walk, a certain song. I'm talking about before God. You may not think that. We have it in the natural. Somebody's going down, bebopping. I see them on the roads doing this stuff. But what you see in the natural like that, but in the spirit, we are walking in a certain anointing. We're playing out a certain rhythm. Right? And that rhythm, that certain song, that certain note has an anointing to it. And it's either God or it's not.
Right.
It's something else. And there might be 10,000 other anointings. But there's only one Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And there was only one Holy Spirit, one anointing, one word that he gives testimony to as truth. But there's 10,000 or millions of other ways you can go. There's people who have all kinds of things they rally to, and this is their claim to fame, or this is who they are, this is who they identify with. Bikers, medical doctors, they all have something that means something. That's who they are. This is who I am. I'm a great, I'm part of this great society. But there's one Holy Spirit, one word, one truth, one life. Amen? So when we walk, we're walking in a tune, we're walking in a certain spirit, and that song, that spirit is a worship. And it depends on whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing, whether or not the worship goes to God or worship goes to the devil.
Right.
That's the difference. So same instruments, but played differently. Mixing and matching tones and beats and all that totally plays a different song and causes people to come to something that gives their worship to the devil rather than to God.
Right.
And so that's why when I say a wooing effect, because when you get to music and all that, it does. It has a pull. It has a draw. And so if it's not right and you know it's not right, don't give it even a millisecond of preeminence to let your ears hear it. Shut it out because you know what direction it leads to. So the purity or the perversion of them has a lot to do with what happens. I remember some of you probably have seen this, and it's been a long time since I watched it, but it was a video put out at Lima, church in Lima, and it was called Music, Mind, and Manipulation. How many in here has seen it, whether you remember, okay? And so, if you'll remember, in that they showed in there was a certain song that was sung by a rock group. And that song went through the same identical chord changes as a gospel song. You remember that, Brother Tim? See? So the devil is not, he's not a creator, he's not an originator, but he is a perverter. And so it was the same chord changes and all that, but it obviously was a different song, brought a different result. But even so close, all the note changes and everything was there, but it was played. So same instrument, same chord changes, same everything, right in sequence, same chord changes. But over here it was a gospel song that would usher in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would be pleased in it. But off over here underneath another movement or whatever, played differently, but yet it's the same chord changes, was a song that brought in a different anointing. And all of it is a worship. Now, I don't have anything to show you on the screen today, but I can show you. Years ago, I've captured several videos, and they are, I'll just go ahead and tell you because I may never show it to you. But if I put them on the screen and showed you, and I'd say, what are you looking at here? And you'd say, that's a rock concert. Because all these sounds of people out there, they're just worshiping. You can see that, just like that, And you can see, and it is. It's a rock concert. But I can show you several of them. And they're just like this, And you go, man, these people are just totally worshiping. And it's a rock concert. But I can show you others and look exactly the same. Laser beams on the platform and smoke and all that. And turn the music on, and you go, that's a gospel song. They're singing gospel songs. Right?
Right. Yeah.
But they're all out there, and it's the same light. It's the same devil that's got them all wrapped up into Hollywood, into all this sensationalism, and they don't know it.
Right.
No difference. And so I can show you one. I got two or three clips on it, and it's one song. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Remember that song? We've sung it a few times. It's that song. And you'd swear up and down it was a rock concert. And when you listen to it, it is a rock concert. It is. They use distortion. They use all that same stuff. and these people out there, and it's a great spiritual movement. Even you as a Christian, and you know that's not right, but you sense the power of that movement, and it sways people, and there's ebb and flow.
Yeah.
See what I mean? Because what ebb and flow is frequency. Moving in the sway of the timing of what the song is having you do. So your walk, to your walk as a Christian, there's ebb and there's flow. There was sine waves, you know. The sea coming and going in and out on tide. It's not a square wave. It don't all go whoosh, out there all heaped up and then whoosh, all up here. It flows in and out. Like a sinusoidal, natural frequency, natural fundamental like that. And so you have a natural movement in the Holy Spirit like that. But if the devil gets in the middle of it gets distorted, it's different.
Yeah.
And I realize I'm, you know, all over the place, but I'm just trying to get you to think about the fact that what you hear and what's happening, it's a worship. And we need to give account to. We need to be careful with it to know that we're walking in things, you know, we want to walk according to the Holy Spirit and yield out the right thing. And so, in that music mind and manipulation, they showed that this song was exactly the same notes and things as a gospel song, but obviously played differently, yielded different results. So it was the right thing that had been perverted. Right?
Yeah.
The right thing had been perverted. And I can't overemphasize the worship, even in all this false stuff, the worship and the spiritual movement and people will experience and go, oh, I felt the presence of the Lord. But now remember, Jesus said, these words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. He is the spirit of the very word that he is, right? And so they have a spiritual experience as they worship in a rock concert, calling it Christianity. But I want to ask you a question. If it's a spiritual movement and it's got ebb and flow to it and it's a life behind it, what word's behind it? Because there's a word tied to it. There's a teaching tied to it. There's a life tied to it. What is that life? Right? Because if it's the Holy Spirit, it will never be contrary to the word. Right? So, we want to be careful with that. Now, you're the same thing. You're the same in this world. Satan can take a hold of you and begin to change you, move you into a different beat, a different walk, and you'll worship in a different way. So now, we read there just a little while ago about Jesus. He comes there and he disappears and then he comes in and he appears. And I've always thought that was really neat. Imagine how that is, how he could do that. And you know, we will travel like a thought. Right? We won't have the limitations of this natural world and of this flesh like we know that we do right now. So we won't have that. We'll travel like a thought. And so, obviously, some of this was playing in effect when Jesus walked on the water. Right? Sure. So, he walks, and he comes in, and he appears in that room, and he's there. He's really there. He says, touch me, and I'm really here, but yet he really appeared there. So he wasn't a spirit. So somehow or another, he went from some other dimension and left that dimension and materialized in that room, was actually a physical being that they could touch and could talk to him, and actually said, give me something to eat. And they gave him broil fish and honeycomb, and he ate that and then turned around and vanished. So now that, even that broiled fish and the honeycomb that was now in his belly went with him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? So we're talking about total and complete ability to move from any whatever dimensions there are and appear and disappear and travel like a thought.
Right.
So this is where we're headed. And I always thought, and this is really neat. And so I'm still talking about God's symphony. And I've mentioned this before, maybe been a while, but in, you know, science is making developments, or not developments, they're discovering things. They don't develop anything, they just discover how something works. But they have something called string theory, And I don't know, I haven't looked at this for several years, so they may call it, they may have developed into something more than calling it theory now. But, you know, the way science works, if they discover something mathematically, they won't go with it until they actually can reproduce it in a lab where they can actually, you know, concrete show what they believe to be evidence of what. But they can find something mathematically and say, hey, this is the way this works. And there's a lot of things about our world that they don't understand until they allow their math to use different dimensions that they're not familiar with. They say, well, you know, we don't know if there's other dimensions or not. Actually, they do now, but I'm just using this as an example. So they say, well, we don't know, but this don't work. But if we allow our math to take energies and stick off over here in some other dimensions that we don't know about, now all this works. So they have a mathematical explanation of how certain things work. So they have mathematical explanation of string theory. And what string theory is, you know, we were taught that the smallest item in the world is an atom, right? So they had protons, electrons, neutrons, but they created atoms, okay? And so I think we were talking, depending on what it is, it takes about 18 million atoms lined up in a row to make an inch. Something like that. It's really small, let's just put it that way. I'm not trying to be scientific here, but just to think about, you know, what I'm trying to share with you this morning. So we were taught that there's protons, neutrons, electrons, and they go around this, they form this atom, and they're circling around, and that's, you know, that's the smallest thing. Well, now they tell you that there's things much, much smaller than that. And what it goes down to is they go all the way down to wave to the just a very small portion of an atom, and they say that everything is made up of something they call string, in string theory, and it's little bits of energy. And it's these little bits of energy are vibrating. So we were thinking, well, if there was an atom of steel, an atom of aluminum, a different type of metal, that, well, you know, I mean, this is steel, this is aluminum, and it can never be anything other than that, you know, unless you destroy it somehow or whatever. Hydrogen, H2O, water, hydrogen, oxygen makes water. Okay? And so you can split those apart or whatever, but you still got hydrogen and oxygen. So you can't change those. But string theory says that when you go all the way down to steel, in the atoms that make up steel way down, and copper and aluminum or water, helium, oxygen, go all the way down to the string theory level where it's talking about these little bits of energy, that these little bits of energy are vibrating in a certain way. And it's their vibration that makes them what they are at a higher level. So a certain vibration would make that an atom that could form oxygen. But a different vibration of the same energy would turn that into oxygen or some metal or some something else. So what they're saying is that even down at that level, they realize that everything is vibrating at a frequency. And it's the frequency they vibrate that changes what they are. And so that you actually have the ability that if you could control the frequency, you could take a molecule or an atom of something and change it into something else completely just simply by changing its vibration. Right? So now, you can walk under the right kind of vibration of the Holy Spirit, and what are you going to be? You're going to be a Christian. But if we change that walk, change that beat that you're walking with, now you become something other than a Christian.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So even science is beginning to figure this out. And so God, being the great creator and controller of all these things, he could make and take this energy and he could change it into a form that's not even visible. And he could push it off over here and make it come into the room where the disciples are, and he could just materialize right there just by changing changing the beat, the notes, changing the symphony, the next step, the next part of the song.
Yep.
See what I'm saying? So Brother Branham talks about this. He says, we have to get into the spirit, to the composer. And the composer was the one who wrote the song, or wrote the symphony, right? And you realize that, you know, you could write the music, but if a person over here wants to read the music, if that person doesn't truly get into the same spirit of the composer, he will not play the song exactly with the same moving spirit and emotional experience for the people or whatever. It won't be the same as what the composer had unless he gets into the spirit of the composer. And so we know what Brother Ram's talking about. He explains this, that the Bible, this is the sheet music. And it tells us what the next beat is and then what's coming and what the next move is. See? It tells us this, and so it's all being played out by a great symphony. And God has got his people, and they're moving, and they're walking to certain movements and certain spirits, and they're acting out because of what vibration they're under. They're acting out the next step and the next program of God. And he's laid out his ages because people were walking and living according to a spirit, according to a movement. They had an ebb and a flow in their life, and it carried them to carry out certain things, and that preached the gospel and brought us to where we are now. And so he's telling us this Bible is the Word of God, is the sheet music. And the only way that we can act out in this hour exactly what God wants said and done in this hour according to the heart of the composer is for us to get into the spirit of the composer. So get into the spirit of the Holy Spirit, the one who wrote it, and we'll act out what exactly he wants lived out in this day by his church. We understand that. So it's like the Word of God. Remember when said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and was God? And the Word there is Logos. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and was God. And the word Logos means the Word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, but not just the Word, but the thought also. Because I could tell you something, and you may take word for word what I say, but if you don't catch the thought too, you might go out thinking and doing something different than what I originally said because you had a different thought. So when the Logos went out, God sent it out, and not only was it the Word to go out and create and do all these things, but he made sure that his thought and his intent with that went with it so that you'll never miss it. So when God sent out and said, let there be a squirrel, and he'll be such and such, there was a thought went with that, and that thought now resides in that squirrel. So that squirrel still jumps up on the tree just like God intended for him to.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the concept there. If you want to live out the symphony of God for you, you have a certain beat. There's a certain place to be at a certain time in this great symphony that's right on time with God, right where he wants you to be, doing what he wants you to do. And there's a spirit associated with that, and a timing associated with that, and a beat and an ebb and flow of your life that puts you there at that time, right at the right place, the right time, doing the right thing. Because you're in tune with the guy who made this in the first place, God, the Creator. And that's what we want to do. So Brother Branham comes along and he says, when the Jews, back then when Jesus came and walked on this earth and the Jews did not recognize him and they crucified him, he said the Jews, they weren't walking in the spirit of the composer.
Right?
Now we realize they had to do that. The whole thing is God's big symphony. So we want to be that. Walk in the spirit of the composer. So the Bible is the sheet music. So if the Bible said, it doesn't make no difference what the world says, but if the Bible said there'd be seven ages, seven messengers, seven angels, that's the way it is. And those ages happen right at the time when God said so, because they're playing out a song. They're playing out a symphony that God is the composer of. And that symphony placed a prophet right down here at the end time. And he was right, his ebb and flow and the life that was in him was right where it was to be, doing what it was to be, right at the time God wanted to be there. And you have part to play in that same symphony. And so God laid out the song, he laid out the sheet music, he laid out the Bible that says when these things would happen, and they'll be just exactly like he said.
Yeah.
because it's his work. He's the composer of it. So now, everything will be just like he said. And now I can turn to, and I'm not making Brother Branham a perfect person by no means, but there is a message that came through him. And there is an expression of Jesus Christ that was lived through him. And there is a word that was delivered to the church through him that's perfect. Doesn't make him a perfect man. Doesn't mean everything he said in himself was perfect. But there was a perfect message come through him. And God has guaranteed that you, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, places you right at the right time where you catch that truth and you go with it. And you live it. And so, because it's all orchestrated, we're all part of God's great plan. And so, there are things that Brother Graham said, you know, these things are going to be just exactly what he said. And I'll just mention a couple of things. And the reason why I'm saying this is because of something I seen yesterday. You know, Brother Graham said, pertaining to Marilyn Monroe, he said, they're going to say that she committed suicide, but she didn't. Right? And a few years ago, it came out in the papers, magazines and so forth. It caught my attention because what I seen, she didn't commit suicide, was the headline. Right? Now, I know there's a lot of controversy and all that and what happened to her, but if you go with the story that they're thinking is that something was done to her that caused her to have a heart attack. Okay? But Brother Ram said she didn't commit suicide. And you know, she had bought furniture and stuff to go. She's going to go bought all this furniture and stuff. I guess it hadn't been delivered yet or whatever. That don't act like somebody that's going to take their life. And I'm not trying to get back on that, but my point is that he said that. And lo and behold, here it is. It comes out. And they said, you know what? She didn't commit suicide. And there's still a conspiracy there, so they won't come out clearly and tell you.
Right.
Okay? And it's just like the Kennedy assassination. And this is what I seen yesterday. And then Mary mentioned it this morning. Now, I don't know that this is on tape anywhere, so I'm just going to tell you. This is a table quote. But I did hear Brother Perry Green say that Brother Brown told him the day will come when they find out, when the public, I guess, finds out who killed Kennedy. He said they're going to be surprised when they find out who it was. Okay? Seen in the headlines yesterday, pulled up Google to look up something, they put top headline right there, Trump is to release the documents that have been classified on the assassination of Kennedy. Okay? Now, obviously, if it's CNN or something like that, trying to slam him. Okay, I'm not trying to get in politics. I'm trying to take everything back to the word that's been committed to us to show you that it'll be exactly like God said it would be. And there's a reason why that prophet took the time to say on tape about Marilyn Monroe. Now, like I said, this was not, I don't know that it's on there, but Barry Green said, he said, they'll find out, they'll be surprised. And so now the article said, just the headline, it said Trump, against the advice or against the wishes of the CIA, he's going to release this anyway. Why would the CIA not want it released? There's your information right there. Because the person who will be implicated in that, they don't want it to get out to the public. Because it's a person in power, they're probably not even here now, it's been so many years. But there's a movement and there's corruption that's the beast system in our nation behind the scene doing things, and they don't want that to get out. They don't want the public to know this because the public would be outraged. But my point is, there it is, coming to pass, and I don't know if they'll ever actually name the person, but we'll see what this happens. But you know, you got a man in office that says, you know what? I'm going to let this out anyway. I think there's a lot of things that need to come out. I'll tell you something else. There was 28 pages of 9/11 attack.
that I know that some of our congressmen said they had to stop and back up when they read it, and they had to stop and rethink things. And that finally got released here a while back, and even when they released it, they still had some stuff marked out they wouldn't let go. Because there was people inside our own government that had to do with that. That's right. So what am I saying? I'm not politicking. I'm telling you there's a beast. And God is allowing that beast to come to power. The sheet music said so. Right? The sheet music said so. It'll be just like he said. But that ain't got nothing to do with my destination. And it doesn't have anything to do with your destination, right? They do whatever they want. And just like Brother Daniel said, you can't even have a sniff of what God lets it happen. So they can't do anything but what God lets it happen. But whatever happens out there doesn't have anything to do with our destination, because we serve God and we're identified with the resurrection message, and that's where we're headed.
Amen.
So now, we'll start trying to land here, but I just have a few more comments to say on this. So it'll be just like God said so. Now, here we are. He said there would be a prophet at the end time, and these things would all be wrapped up, and he would bring rapturing faith to the church, okay? And to the bride. And so now here we are. You and I are in this hour where these things have been committed to us, and rapturing faith is now working in our heart. We are now being, by the things we've heard, we're being brought into a certain ebb and flow, a certain walk, a certain spirit, a certain part of the symphony being committed to us now, and we're walking it. You see what I'm saying? So here we are. And in this message, Brother Brown has this vision, and he says he sees, we went across this many times, but he says he sees the churches marching before him. And he talked about the different ones. That there was a bride, she was dressed really, you know, beautiful and all that, and she walks by, and that was the early church, and then here comes all these ungodly churches, and then Miss USA come along. And he described Miss USA. Now, before I say this, remember what he said to the church of Laodicea. He said, "You are blind, miserable, poor, wretched, and naked, and don't know it." Right? So now, I'm telling you that when you walk a certain way under a certain anointing, if it's not of God, it causes immorality and all kinds of things. So now here's a church, and in this vision, he said, Miss USA come by, and she was dancing to rock and roll music and was naked except just a little tiny portion that she had covered. Right? So God is associating and showing here that a person who's walking in a certain spirit, under a certain walk, a certain song, a certain beat, they have a certain destination. And they have a certain manifestation that goes with that they're walking in. So here's this modern American church, and they're fine. They believe that they're rich and increased with goods. They have fine buildings, great big programs and all that. But in God's eyes, they're naked. They're blind. They're miserable. They're poor, wretched. They don't even know it. So in his eyes, he's looking at this church that's bebopping along to something contrary, not gospel music, but rock and roll music. No doubt it's probably what they call a gospel song, but it's rock and roll music, and they're naked. Right? So you see, it all comes together, it's all associated together, that if you walk a certain way and it's not of God, you're out of control, and it's taking you down the road he wants you to go. And you will manifest all kinds of ungodly stuff because it's the wrong walk. It's the wrong spirit. And so even that vision that Brother Brown had declared and showed that God sees it exactly that way. They were walking to the wrong beat. Their apparel was gone. An ungodly, filthy bunch of churches who had left the word. Now, he didn't say they're blind, but they're well-dressed. Or they're marching to gospel music, but they're naked. See, it didn't go together. What goes together is that they're blind, miserable, poor, wretched, naked, bebopping to rock and roll music. It's all one big package. When the devil takes a hold of them and takes them down this road, it's a full package deal. Blindness, wretchedness, rock and roll, nakedness, immorality, going across the curve of the earth, going to hell. Right? But the bride of Christ, she was dressed properly. She was walking properly. You see what I'm saying? She gets a package deal. She's dressed right. She's looking right. She goes to the right places. She has the right thoughts. She's walking to the right portion that is in God's symphony. And not some rock concerts. Do you realize this whole thing, God wanted to play out before him in beauty, and Satan hijacks it, perverts the walk, perverts the music, perverts the ebb and flow, and makes a rock concert out of the world as it's played out. See, if you look at, stand back from a big picture and look at all humanity and how it's all gone, it's turned into a rock concert when it was supposed to be something for God.
Amen.
Beauty, clothed, in right mind, with joy. And look what it is now. This is why we've got to stay with these truths. This is why we've got to say no to this stuff. To the rock and roll and taking the clothes off and cutting the hair for you sisters and men acting like sissies instead of men. We've got to say no to all that stuff because that's what it leads to. That's what it's all part of. We've got to stay clean from those things and worship God so that our walk truly is a worship to him. That if you learn these truths and do like we said this morning, when you get up and you don't feel good and you feel like the devil wants to take you down a bad pathway and you feel like that's what you're going to have to do, take these tools that we're talking about to know that if you sing praises to God, you can drive that thing away.
Yeah.
That if you associate yourself with the right things, you'll make those devils flee. Resist the devil steadfast and he will flee from you. Didn't say he would walk away. He would flee. But you've got to resist him steadfast. And so I was thinking this, you know, that if we as an army sit right here and we fortify ourselves and the enemy's constantly coming and attacking us, constantly attacking, and we hold him off, okay? We'll never win like that. We always spend our time defending what he's throwing our way. But why don't we ever go after him?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we ever pick up the sword of the word of the Lord and get up in the morning? And I was wanting to read that scripture where David ran to meet Goliath. He ran to challenge him. Why don't we do that? Why do we sit around and let the enemy attack us and then try to find the roots of faith to try and defend it off? Why don't we go meet him before he even has a chance to come at us? Right? So in other words, we see him fortified here, we see him fortified there, he's fortified here with our children or with our family or whatever. Why wait to see him rise up from that and try to perpetrate something on us? Why don't we rise up and go out and meet him and go to battle with him first, with the word of the Lord.
Yep.
Right? Because you'll never totally win until you are putting that word on your lips like that. And you become the one. See, because a sword, you got all these shields of faith and all the different. But the only one that's made for striking out is that word, the sword. Everything else is to defend. But the word is what you're getting with. Right? So it's okay to have a shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness. That's what you got, helmet of salvation. You have all that, but you go after him with the sword.
Yeah.
It is written. It is written. That's what we want to come to. So God has seen this generation in this spiritual condition, and you can see their destination. The beat, the part of the walk that they have declares where they're headed. And so all I can say is, Lord, cause us, help us to get into the spirit of the composer.
Mm-hmm.
That everything that he
has committed that it'll be just in the timing, just at the frequency, just right when he wants it. There's a lot more I could go into on this, but I won't. But I could actually, if the young people wanted to see this, I could actually show them on computer mathematically how all this works, how distortion works, and how these tones and things like that work together to create beautiful things and create things that aren't beautiful. And there's a natural way, natural to God's program, that's right, that's beautiful to the Lord. That's why when you get out there in the woods, brothers, and we sat around the camp and you can hear just the wind kind of going through the trees, how soothing that is. Mm-hmm. Now compare that to a rock concert. What's the difference? There's a lot of difference. See what I mean? Because out there, that's something natural. You see God out there in nature and in those things like that. But when man comes along and puts his hand to it, it's over with. There's no peace in it. Amen. I want to recognize every opportunity that God has for me. And I want you to recognize every opportunity he has for you, that you could march out, beat out everything according to his plan and according to his program. Amen. I mean, thank him for knowing that you are, his hand is upon you and you're walking in his symphony, carrying out and living out according to his plan. Amen. Makes all the difference in the world. We love him because of it. Love him because he's coming this day and giving us such truths to live by. And as I said earlier, these things become tools that we can use to defeat the enemy. But at some point, God's people have to get to the place where they quit settling for compromise, to get past the threshold where they say, you know what? I'm not just going to let this go anymore. I'm going to challenge the devil on this. And that's what we got to do. Amen. I believe it's close. We got to come to that place where we defeat him according to the word. You know, Jesus did that. When Jesus came out, was baptized, before he come out into a public showing of his ministry, what did he have to do? He had to meet the devil on temptation. And he had to defeat the devil without supernatural, like Brother Branham, I think, said, he could have smoked the devil any way he wanted to. But he never defeated the devil with great supernatural fire coming out and burning up the devil or nothing like that. He didn't do it. He just defeated the devil by saying, it's written. It's written. It's written. Yep. And we have to come to that place where we defeat the devil just by it's written before we ever start calling the fire out of heaven. There is a time, I believe, that the bride will exhibit great supernatural things. But before that happens, we have to go through that time of testing and trying. And we're tested according to the character that's in us. And the character that's in us will say only what the word says, even when you don't feel like it. Right? It'll say what the word says. And then after victory, then you possess the gate of your enemy. And by the way, I've said this before, but the gate of the enemy, there's two things there. He wants to take you and put you inside his walls and fix you where you can't get out, so you're a prisoner. And the weakest part of a city is their gate. He wants to put you inside his prison walls and put a gate there and tell you that you can't get out. You got to be a prisoner to whatever he's put on you for life. That's what he wants to do. But the word says you can possess the gate of your enemy. If you possess that gate, there's no way he can lock you in. He's got a wide gaping door there, and you can just walk right out of it anytime you want to. Yeah. Right? Because the promise says you can possess that gate of that enemy. And the other point is this, that if you've got an enemy and he's fortified within his walls, and you need to take that territory, he cannot prevent you because you own his gate. There's no way that he can keep you out. If his gate's no good. So God has given you, just like Samson, you can walk up there, pull the gate off, and walk up and throw it down on top of a hill. And that city is as vulnerable as it can be.
Yes.
Because of the gate. So God has given to you the ability
to win. And I'm going to ask you a question. Remember, the church is supposed to come to the full measure of the stature of Christ? So when he was victorious, we'll be victorious. Right? How many times did he fail? I know this is a tall order, but how many times did he fail? He never failed. Neither will we. God's bringing us to this place where we know what to do with the word. And we reach that point where we're in full stature. And everything Satan throws at us, he gets whipped. I don't feel like I'm there yet. But I can see clearly that God has committed to us in this revelation, this is our lot to come to that place as the bride of Christ. That everything Satan throws our way, we can defeat it. I believe that. Lord, help us to move into that beat of that timing right when it says that we come to it. That's exactly what we come to. Amen. I believe it. How about you? Amen. Let's just let the musicians come on up. We'll sing a song here in just a minute as Brother Tim comes. The Lord's good to us. Love the Lord. Let's all stand. So worship just for a little bit before we go. See all this stuff going on in the world, and it looks, well, this is happening, this is happening, oh, this is terrible. That's, just back up, rise up like eagles and look down on the whole situation.
Yeah.
And watch you see out across all that that's going on, whether it's Holocaust or wars, whatever it is, everything that you see there, and you look at that and say, God is growing sons and daughters.
Yeah.
That's what that is. That's all it is. Amen. It's an eternal plan. God bless you. I want to let you be dismissed as we can sing this song or whatever else Brother Tim has, but just you're dismissed in the name of the Lord. God bless you.
Amen.